First, we must give rise to bodhicitta, and giving rise to bodhicitta so that we may practice in order to benefit countless suffering sentient beings and to bring an end to their suffering in samsara. Irrespective of whether we are in retreat or out of retreat, our practice must never leave this great vast bodhicitta. And having bodhicitta, we continue to practice the great perfection. And this is so auspicious. Remember, in practicing the great perfection, we must have this foundation of bodhicitta. When you're in retreat, first in the mornings, practice the Guru Yoga. Practice the Guru Yoga of His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche. And in the afternoon, we practice the deities. And when we make offerings to the deities and the Dharma protectors, we do this also with making offerings to our root guru. We practice these offerings in the practice of the root guru, the deities, and the Dharma protectors. And this is very important, and in the process of doing this as well, we recite the Sutra of Great Liberation to repent all of our negative karma of body, speech, and mind since beginning this time till now. And we do this repenting in front of Sakyamuni Buddha. And after repenting, then we give rise to the aspiration of bodhicitta, and then we start to practice the Guru Yoga. And we receive the four empowerments, the youthful vase body empowerment, the secret empowerment, the wisdom empowerment, and the word empowerment. And then all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the Dharma protectors, the deities transform into boundless light, into our Guru, and our Guru transforms into boundless light and then is absorbed into our mind stream. And then we abide in Rigpa, being inseparable or in unity with that of our Guru. In that moment that our Guru and ourselves become inseparable, we then abide in meditative concentration. And then abide in meditative concentration for as long as you can, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And then in the afternoon, practice the deity practices. And the practice of the deity is the same as the practice of Guru Yoga. We do the visualizations the same, and then the deity transforms into boundless light and is absorbed into our mind stream, and then we abide in meditative concentration again in the inseparability of ourselves and the deity. And then it might be that we are practicing Green Tara or maybe Maritsi, and we visualize in the same way, and this is in the afternoon. And then we receive all of their vast compassion, and the essence of their compassion and wisdom is absorbed into our mind stream. And when this happens, then we abide in the true nature of mind. The purposes of all these dharmas, the Mahamudra, Vajrayana, Great Perfection, Dzogchen, all of them, the purpose is for us to know our true selves. Because at the moment, we don't know our true selves. And what is recognizing or getting to know ourselves is realizing our inherent nature, our true nature of mind. And when we do this, then we attain the same realization as that of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The issue is, at the moment, we don't truly recognize ourselves. We don't know our true selves. And so we are carrying on blindly. And now sometimes, occasionally, we look at our mind and then we don't look at it. Always pursuing the answers externally. Oh, of course, naturally, we receive the Dharma from our Guru, which is externally. However, the practice is the practice of transforming and recognizing our own mind. To do this, we need an enlightened, benevolent Guru who gives us these pith instructions that enable us to gradually realize, to recognize this true nature of mind of ours, to help us free ourselves from this confusion, this ignorance of ours, that we may know ourselves, that we really are also a Buddha ourselves. For now, we haven't realized our great potential. And so, for this purpose, to realize this, we must practice. And why is this? Is because we haven't realized our true nature of mind. So to be able to realize that we are, have the nature of Buddha, we must practice, realize our true nature of mind. At the moment, we don't know the path to be able to do this. And to be able to realize our true nature of mind, we rely on the instructions of the Guru, and of course the blessing of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. However, this blessing also depends on our ability to recognize them and our faith in them. And in this way, gradually, we bring our mind home. And then when our mind has settled down, we suddenly realize that, oh, before, everything that has happened was just like a dream. Everything we experienced before was illusory. And all of these delusions carried or brought them with them all kinds of afflictions and emotions. And as a result, we didn't realize our inherent nature. We didn't realize our true nature of mind. And so through the practice and through going into retreat, more and more we get to recognize this true nature of mind of ours. And we're able to support our true nature of mind longer and longer. However, we mustn't force this. The method of meditation is very important. Our body must be unmoving like that of a mountain, and our mind doesn't move like the vast deep ocean, and our five senses don't move just like space. And in this way, without forcing, we get to recognize and know our true nature of mind. And this is a very auspicious way to do this. However, if we give ourselves a lot of pressure and we try and force our meditation and recognizing the true nature of mind, then all it becomes is a type of affliction. And it just becomes obstacles to our practice and difficulties. The deeper and deeper, the more profound our meditation becomes, the more and more we must relax. And the more relaxed we are, the purer, the calmer our mind becomes. The reason our practice collapses is often because we are trying to force it or we are too anxious. And this happens too with respect to material concerns. As soon as we are anxious and worried and stressed, it affects everything. Practice in a state of joy and happiness and relaxed, cherishing. Don't be all stressed and anxious and worried, or being too excited. All of these become obstacles to practice. If we become too excited that we are going for retreat and all happy, and then what happens is after a little while we don't have any state of meditation, we have no cherishing, our mind isn't calm and settled down. We've been revolving around in samsara since beginningless time till now. So of course we have these afflictions. We have these negative habits. Naturally, our mind is full of these afflictions. So it's important that we continue to practice. And then in our meditation, we might get the state where our mind is very calm, very tranquil, very pure. And then we may think, oh, my practice is going so well. I've already recognized the true nature of mind. And we're very, very happy. And then the next time we sit down and meditate, we just can't find the state of mind again. And then all of a sudden we become all unhappy, discontent. Oh, that's true nature of mind. I can't find anymore. I can't achieve this wisdom emptiness. What have I told you? As a practitioner must very patiently bring their mind to calm abiding. And irrespective of the state of our mind, good or negative, we must continue, persist in our practice. If my karma is very strong, I will continue to practice. If my karma is very pure at the moment, I will continue to practice. And have this faith that we will continue to practice. This is so, so important. Practice isn't like these worldly concerns. Practice is really a process that takes a long, long time. It really takes a long time to transform these afflictive emotions. It's not something that we are going to finish in a few days or a few weeks. Most important is that we know that we must practice.